The greatest luxury adventures on earth. Abercrombie and Kent. Robot building supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Brett Phillips in for Dwayne on this Thursday. 1-300-736-736. We'll come back to your calls very soon on the Werribee Kia open line. And, of course, we're here for Robots Building Supplies. Robots got it. And, of course, the greatest luxury adventures on earth, Abercrombie and Kent. Well, the ICC Women's T20 World Cup is certainly on in earnest. We've reached the semi-final stage. The weather gods, how's it all going to pan out? It's been a huge talking point. You can get your tickets today at T20World Cup.com, and you can catch both the ICC T20 World Cup semi-finals back-to-back on 9GEM and 9NOW today from 2:30. Mark Taylor, the former Australian captain and Channel 9 commentator, will be on deck in Sydney today. Mark, great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Brett. Nice to be on, mate.
The question is, Mark, you're right in the thick of it up there in Sydney. What is the weather telling you right now? How do you think this is all going to pan out?
Well, I've got to be honest with you, Brett. At the moment, it's not looking good. I've actually just got into the Channel 9 studios and I've driven from my home, which is about 20 minutes away, and it's been sort of constant drizzle all day here. So looking at the various weather websites, there's a few little breaks in them, but there's also a prediction of, you know, sort of, I think it was 10 to 30 mil of rain here. So
Yep. It's
not good at the moment. So the game of India and England, which is supposed to start at 3 o'clock Sydney time, that's certainly in doubt. And Australia's match at 7 o'clock tonight. Well, fingers crossed we get a bit of clearing between now and then.
So the scenario that could play it, and I think Australia's match would have to start, by about 9, quarter past 9 latest? Is that right?
That's what I reckon. I think it has to start by about 9 o'clock, I think, Sydney time.
Yep.
They've got to play a 10 overs a side match now, being a semi-final. So they're going to need to probably have this rain stop by, or so the grounds would get on there to clear it all up. And he's said that he'd need about half an hour. So I think we'd probably need to be stopped raining by, say, 8:15 for that game to start.
And we saw with the Big Bash, I mean, the drainage is, you know, exceptionally good, isn't it, Mark, at the SCG. But with two games on the same day and trying to logistically make all this work, it's a little bit of a nightmare. I know it's been a talking point, and Jared Waitley took a lot of calls on this this morning. And, you know, it's been something that's flared up the last 2 or 3 days. Why don't the rules allow for a reserve day like the men? But these are the rules that are in place. And would we be talking about it if Australia wasn't at the business end in a semi-final? What's your view on the ICC's decision not to have a reserve day option?
Well, I think it's been the wrong decision leading into the tournament. I think it's very tough for the ICC now to change that decision, which was made prior to the event, because
Yep. People
will see it as favouring one side above the other, and particularly Australia in this case. But I think looking at the schedule for this tournament, there's no doubt in my mind they could have had a reserve day for tomorrow, just for the semi-finals at least, because if you get this far, obviously you want to play those two semi-finals, and it would still give you the opportunity to travel to Melbourne on Saturday to play on Sunday night. Now, generally, players like to have a day's rest and then a day's travel before a game, the next game. But I think when it comes to reserve day situations, I think that sometimes playing conditions like that should go out the door, and we should think about the common sense approach of saying, well, if it's raining, both games get washed out, let's play the reserve day, and it just means you're one day closer to the final. I think that would make everyone a lot more happier.
Probably not the first time, Mark, that we've questioned the ICC and some of the decisions that they make, which are quite bizarre at times and head-scratching.
Yeah, well, I think at times people sort of sit back and think, well, Australia, we are the lucky country, and we all agree with that. But as we've seen this summer, you can get all sorts of weather conditions here. And all you can do, I suppose, is cater for as many of those as you possibly can. I think people assume that it's sunny in Sydney all the time and there wouldn't be any need for maybe reserve days. But here we are now, rain coming down in Sydney, thinking that it will be disappointing, no doubt, if both these semi-finals are washed out today, and even though India and South Africa will go through to the final, irrespective of who goes through, it's not great for the tournament to have both semi-finals potentially washed out.
No, I agree. Mark Taylor with us, former Australian captain and Channel 9 commentator. So we're due to start at 3 o'clock, unlikely to happen with India and England, then, of course, South Africa, Australia due for a 7 o'clock start tonight. To the game itself, I mean, obviously the loss of Elise Perry is huge for the Australian team and what she can do, and she just looks really banged up and unfortunately won't take any further part. Sophie Molyneux's name's been suggested as the one to come in. What are you thinking Meg Lenning and the coaching staff will do here in trying to put the best side together, depending whether the match does get played and the adjustment in conditions as well? We might have a shortened match.
Yeah, I suppose Sophie Molyneux, the left-arm spinner, or Molly Strano, the right-arm off-spinner. Molly played the first game of this World Cup against India, and I don't think she's played since in memory. So I think they'll certainly come into the equation. If you look at the bowlers in this tournament so far, it's actually been the slower spin bowlers who've had greater success. England's two bowlers, Eccleston and Glenn, have done particularly well. Jess Jonathan's done well, as has Georgia Wareham, our leg spinner. So the slow bowling seems to have been the way to go in this tournament. So I think it will be one of Molyneux or Strano who takes Elise Perry's place this evening, should the game go ahead.
To the men, Mark, I know you've got a short amount of time, but they, of course, lost this morning. I got up to watch the bulk of the second innings, and South Africa, of course, chasing down Australia's total. Mellon, and it's his second one-day international, though, with a magnificent century. He was superb. What have you made of the one-day series?
Yeah, I suppose disappointing from an Australian point of view. Looking at the South African side, no Faf du Plessis and no Kagiso Rabada, two of their better performers, not in the South African side. So I think Australia would have gone in with a fair bit of confidence into this series, and they're now down 2-0 with one to play. So South Africa have done well because obviously they've filled that void. And the other thing they've done is they've filled it with two guys who've only just found themselves into the team. You talked about Yanniman Milan, who made 129 last night. That was only his second game. And then in the first game, Heinrich Klaassen made his first one-day 100 against Australia, or against any side, but in that first game. So they've unearthed a bit of talent there, South Africa. So that all goes well for them because they were disappointing in the World Cup last year. So it's a good win for them and probably a disappointing loss for us.
Mark, I was watching that crowd at that match, and obviously there's quite a part of the ground where it's sort of standing room, which I love about some of the South African grounds where you can sort of just stand on the grassed areas or get the deck chair out, and they're right into it in terms of the one days and the T20s. Is that environment compared to other environments around the world, has it just got that edge to it that's quite intimidating in a lot of ways?
Oh, it certainly can be, and you still sort of walk through the crowd a lot more over there than you do in some other venues. It's a bit like Australia, I suppose, back in the 70s and 80s. When you looked at the old SCG or the Gabba or something like that, the crowd were right sometimes inside the fence. It's still got that sort of feel about it. So, yeah, certainly it's becoming more of a unique place to play, South Africa, but not dissimilar to Australia's conditions, though. Look, yesterday, like that pitch was very good, and what we made, 271, I think Australia will feel they were probably 30 or 40 short of where they wanted to be. And then looking at the game, we couldn't get any wickets in reply. That seemed to be the difference. We couldn't sort of break through their middle order, and that's been the difference in the series so far.
It has a game to come, and of course, Becky to play New Zealand in three one-day internationals. And just a final one on Steve Smith. I know Kevin Roberts, the CEO of Cricket Australia, was in here with Jaron yesterday, chatting about Smith, Warner, their leadership ban for Steve Smith. That's nearly up, and you feel like, from afar, that he's certainly leading in some way, and he's part of the discussions out on field, and he can't help being a leader. It's part of his DNA now. But what happens there long term, do you think? And what would be the discussions going on about possibly injecting Steve, or maybe even both, back at some point in leadership roles?
Oh, look, I obviously don't know these days what discussions are going on behind the scenes. And look, I don't really wish to speculate because I was on the board at the time where these bans and sanctions were handed out. So I think it's probably not right for me to speculate where Cricket Australia may or may not go. At the moment, as you know, Steve Smith, I think, can once again take up a leadership position at the end of this month, I think it might be. And then and we'll see from there what Cricket Australia decide to do.
And just one on the text to finish. Second only to Darwin for rainfall as the major centres go in Australia. A little dig from Melbourne here to Sydney's weather. More rain affected cricket matches in Sydney than just about anywhere else, Mark.
Exactly right. We're certainly getting some tropical weather down here, late. Don't worry about that. We've either got, unfortunately, heat and bushfires as we had earlier in the summer, and now we've got torrential rain.
You've copped it, no doubt. Hey, mate, really appreciate it. I know you've got duties with Channel 9 there, and fingers crossed we can get some sort of cricket played today.
Thanks, Brett. We've certainly got our fingers crossed here.
Mark Taylor, former Australian captain, who will be part of the Channel 9 commentary team, of course. India versus England, South Africa to take on Australia, the two T20 matches a little bit later on. In Adelaide, I'm heading over for the Davis Cup tomorrow. The draw has come out. Australia taking on Brazil, of course, to get through to the November Davis Cup finals, which will be in Madrid. So Jordan Thompson will lead the Australian team. Of course, no Kyrgios, no De Minaur, taking on Thiago Monteiro, who's ranked about 90 in the world, the lefty from Brazil. And then John Millman will take on Thiago Seboth-Wield, who's this young Brazilian who won in Chile last weekend, who's improved his ranking by about 100 spots. So suddenly he becomes a different prospect, but certainly on paper. If Australia can't beat Brazil in a clean sweep, I'd be very surprised. The doubles on Saturday, John Pearce, who wasn't in, and he's been drafted back in with James Duckworth to make his debut. And up against two players, I can honestly put my hand on my heart and say I've never heard of them, because they haven't brought their two best doubles players in Suarez and Mello, who are inside the top 30. But they brought Rodriguez Alves and De Molina. And then, of course, it'll be the reverse singles after that. But I don't think that'll be needed for Australia's Davis Cup team come the weekend. ICC Women's T20 World Cup tickets certainly on sale Sunday, the final. We hope Australia's going to be part of it. But we'll wait and see how the weather gods are this afternoon. We'll take a break, hopefully preview the NBL Grand Final or the semi-final, Game 3, coming up tonight with Chris Anstey and Andrew Naboo from Melbourne Victory, also coming up here on Dwayne's World.